This morning I want to do part two of where I started last week when we looked at the enemy and how the enemy comes to try and stop what God wants to do. But I'm saying today, more than any other time, we need to open our spiritual eyes and be aware that he is at work to stop you from doing all that God wants you to do. You are in a spiritual battle. And I want to say in the spiritual battle, the devil knows your name. He knows your fears. He targets your mind with doubt, insecurity, lies, and shame. When you are alone, he will strike, whether it be the early hours of the morning or sitting in some sort of waiting room. The battle is real, but you need to hear this morning that the victory has been won. And when we come and stand against the enemy, we stand from a place of victory, not trying to push to victory. And when we understand that we are in a place of victory, that's when we see the enemy flee. Now, I don't know where you are this morning, but wherever you are, I know the enemy is trying to hold you down. There's a spiritual battle over your life, over your situation. And I want to tell you this morning that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Can we stand up as we pray and let's ask the Holy Spirit to deposit some stuff in our lives which is going to help us to stand victorious in this battle. I invite you, Holy Spirit, this morning that you would open up our spiritual eyes. Lord, we need to hear from you. There's no one here that's exempt from spiritual warfare as we walk with you. I ask, Holy Spirit, will you just allow shafts of light to just penetrate the darkness or the fortresses that the enemy has built in our minds and in our hearts? Father, I pray that you'd start to smash bitterness and rejection and hurt and pain and unforgiveness, that you'd start to break down the lies that the enemy has sown there. And Jesus, may your love start to penetrate, and from the bottom of our hearts, may your Spirit start to fill us with peace and joy and contentment and acceptance. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat, thanks. So we need to keep our spiritual eyes open. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it abundantly. And sometimes as we journey as Christians, we don't feel abundant because we're being robbed every day because the enemy is grabbing ground in our life and taking away what God wants us to stand up and have victory. Paul writes about this in Ephesians 6, reading from verse 12. He said, the battle's real. He said, finally, after he's talked in Scripture, and what he's just spoken about, he's spoken about husbands and wives. He's spoken about masters and slaves. He's spoken about relationships and some of the most difficult relationships. He just finished talking about that. And at the end, he sticks in this verse, finally, I've got one more point to make. And this point is far above everything that I've spoken about. But finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the schemes of the enemy. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after all, doing everything that you are able to stand. I love the point there, when the evil day comes. Do you understand what I'm saying? When some days I feel that this is an evil day, everything I try to do either gets turned around and interpreted wrongly or nothing works. And my frustration levels go from 0 to about 90. Do you understand those days? And those days it would have been better for me to stay in bed, but probably then the bed would have broken, than to get out in the world. And that's what Paul's talking about. There are days when the enemy focuses on you and tries to just get you so, so discouraged. You know, the battle is not against flesh and blood. It's not against the people who drive you crazy. Your battle's not against them, but your battle is against evil rulers and authorities in the unseen world, against evil mighty powers in this dark world, evil spirits in heavenly places, and unseen forces. There is an incredible spiritual battle going on. And I teach this morning not to give any glory or ground to the enemy, but to open up our spiritual eyes and realize this battle is going on, and we need to be so aware of it. So what does the devil do? The devil tries three areas in our lives. The first one is the devil is a deceiver who attacks your mind with lies. And last week I talked about lies. I talked about the way that we accept these lies, and that's where he's attacking. The devil also is an accuser who attacks our heart with accusation. And also the devil is a destroyer who attacks our will with pride. Now, hey, if everything's going okay, just watch your will, because you're going to be attacked by pride. But this morning, I want to look at the accuser who attacks you with accusation. Have you ever been accused? Meryl and I, we were down in Brisbane, the back blocks of Brisbane, trying to find this place where we had to pick something up from. We got our phone out and we put the GPS on, but the stupid lady in the GPS wasn't talking that day. So I had to listen to my wife. I didn't mean to, sorry. The lovely lady in the GPS wasn't talking that day, so I had to listen to my wife. And I'm going to be very honest that at one stage I grabbed the phone off her and said, "Can we get that woman to speak, please?" As we went in the wrong direction, almost the wrong direction. It's my fault because I turned off earlier. Now, if you want to see if the devil's real, husbands and wives, get in the car, one navigate, one drive. Okay? We didn't realize that early enough in ministry, and I remember in the first church that we planted, for an outreach into the town, we thought we would get all the husbands and wives, and we would have a car rally, and then we'd finish back at our place, and then we would just have a lovely barbecue tea, share the winner, and have some amazing fellowship to launch the Baptist church in this town. By the time the people got back, we cancelled the barbecue for our own sake, because they're going to kill us, because they didn't agree with our answers when you had to count the number of fences in a street. They attacked us because they thought we had it wrong. They were supposed to ring a phone number and they rang the wrong phone number. So we had to cancel that because the devil was having an absolute field day. But after that, what does the devil do? The devil says, "You're not good enough. How dare you get cranky? How dare the two of you can't sit in the car and get it together?" Do you hear what I'm saying? The accusations of the enemy. The accusations I get as a pastor, you know, "Phil, you're not good enough. Phil, there's so many other people that are a better pastor than you are. If the church is going well, I get accused it should be going better. If the church is not going good, I get accused that, hey, you're not doing a good job." Do you ever have the accuser speaking into your ear? This morning, the accuser is saying to me, "Phil, you're tired. You had time with grandkids yesterday. You didn't have the time to pray that you did the week before. It's not going to work." These are the lies of the enemy, and these are the accusations that he attacks us with. He says that you're not worthy, you're not good enough, you're not worth loving, you're not lovable, and you don't have what it takes. Who's ever heard those words? All the time, isn't it? And that's what he does. He accuses the brethren. That's why he's called the accuser of the brethren. But in Isaiah 57:17, it says, "There's no weapon formed against you that's going to be prosperous." What it's saying is we need to silence the accuser. We need to realize where these voices are coming from and silence the accuser. Don't listen to the lies. He will try and lie. The lion roars. But his accusations are toothless unless you stick your arm down the lion's throat and then he chomps you. And he tries to get you to a point where you actually stick your hand down his throat. If you don't do that, hey, keep moving on. I remember one time, it was in the older church, in the offices there, I had this great big desk back then. It was so heavy, and I had this girl that came and saw me, and she had some demonic trouble in her life, and she was asking me to, could I pray for her and deal with her demonic problems? And I said, look, I'm willing to pray for that, and I asked some questions. But she said, there's a warning. Two people have tried to do this before, and the two people who have tried, something's happened to their children. Are you willing to try? Where's that? That's the accusations of the enemy to stop it from happening. And with two fingers, she just lifted up my desk. Okay, these are spiritual battles that we fight and we need to be aware of. Don't allow the accusations of the enemy to stop you from doing what God wants you to do. I was able to pray for her, and there was some amazing release for her. The enemy is a liar and always will be a liar and an accuser. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters who accuses them before our God day and night has been hurled down. So that's his job. He's doing his job. He's accusing brothers and sisters day in, day out. But it says, they triumph over him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives as much as to shrink from death. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short. Throughout the New Testament, 35 times, we see the word diabolos, which means the accuser of the brethren who is accusing us day and night. He accuses us when we do stuff wrong. He accuses us and keeps on accusing us and does not stop. Before we sin, he tries to encourage us. Go on, it's okay to do it. Go and do that sin. You'll enjoy it. You'll enjoy it. The moment you do it, do you know what happens? He turns his tune and says, how could you be a Christian and do that? That's the game he plays. That's what the enemy wants to do. Push you off the cliff, and then as you're falling, saying, it's your fault that you're falling. So we need to overcome the voices of the devil and the way that he tries to accuse us in so many ways. And there's a beautiful, beautiful chapter in Zechariah. So Zechariah chapter 3, if you're looking for that in your Bibles, it's second last book in the Old Testament. If you're looking for it in your phones, it starts with a Z. Beautiful story. Three different characters in this story. There's God, who is the judge. There's Joshua, the high priest, who is on trial. So Joshua got himself in some hot water and he was on trial. And the prosecutor is Satan. And Satan is there trying to throw guilt on Joshua for a certain reason. For some reason, his robes were dirty. And we don't really know why, but here is the high priest of God. His robes were dirty. And there was an accusation from the enemy. Let me read it to you. It says, then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at the right side to accuse him. The Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is not this man a burning stick snatched out of the fire? Now Joshua was dressed in filthy clothes as he stood before the angel. The angel said to those who were standing before him, take off your filthy clothes. Then he said to Joshua, see, I have taken away your sin and I have put fine garments on you. Then I said, put a clean turban on his head. So they put a clean turban on his head and clothed him while the angel of the Lord stood by. The angel of the Lord gave his charge to Joshua. This is what the Lord Almighty says. If you walk in obedience to me and keep my requirements, then you will be given my house and have charge of my courts, and I will give you a place amongst those standing there. Now, the angel of the Lord, as we look at that, that's most likely Christ. If we look in the Old Testament, there's a number of times that there's an angel of the Lord or someone turns up and they refer to that really as Christ. In the lion's den, there were three guys thrown into the lion's den, and there in the lion's den, thrown into the furnace of the fire, and there in the fire, none of that fire touched them, but they saw a fourth person in the fire. And they assume that that is Jesus. And here before the throne, we assume again that this is Jesus, as though it's a courtroom there, and he is, poor Joshua is being accused. And the Lord himself said to Satan, I rebuke you. Okay, this is my son, this is my child, I rebuke you. And there is Joshua, for some reason, dressed in his filthy clothes. And for some reason, we don't know, but the devil had those accusations. And how often do we do stuff wrong and that we feel accused? The devil accuses us. And rightly so, we are sinners. We'll always do stuff wrong. And then the accusations come. And they may not come from just from what people say, but they may come from what we think, or we think we're not good enough, or we think that, we don't have the goods that we should have. When those accusations come, just remember there is someone in the courtroom of heaven standing on your behalf. I know when I was a kid at school, my brother, who was 2 years older than me, he's a bit rough and rugged. I had to follow him through school. He's expelled a few times and they just expected me to follow suit, but I was a little bit different. But I remember a couple of times that, hey, I was being picked on. And my brother came to my defence. And man, it feels good to have someone stand up for you. Do you know what I mean? It's great to have someone who believes in you enough to stand up for you. When we were alone, he would never stand up for me. But when we're out there, at times he would stand up for me. And man, that was amazing. That's what's happening in this courtroom. Here we have Joshua. The devil's accusing Joshua. And Jesus himself is saying, this guy is worthwhile. This guy is forgiven. This guy is worthy. The devil's trying to declare Joshua is useless, that he should be destroyed, put aside. But Jesus was there defending him, saying he needs to be restored. Take off these dirty garments. I've got clean ones for him. And by the way, I've even got a clean turban to put on his head. There's something about taking off filthy garments and putting on garments of righteousness. In the New Testament, we jump to a beautiful story of a prodigal son who decided he knew life better, so he went and did all the wrong stuff. And when he is coming back to his father was there and greeted him with great joy and gave him a new robe. He put his own robe over his filthy robes. And that's what Jesus wants to do. Jesus wants us to receive that in our hearts, that he wants to put his robe of righteousness over the stuff that we've done wrong, the places we failed in, the stuff that we battle with, that Jesus wants us to realize that we are sons and daughter of a Most High God. And so many people don't feel that or don't experience that or have a sense of sonship. Yep, I'm okay to be a servant in the kingdom of God, but a son or a daughter, that means I wear his name. That means the robe of righteousness that I have around me is his. And how beautiful that is. So in Zechariah simply says, take off those dirty robes and put on the garments of righteousness. And that's what it was. Restored immediately. He didn't say, "Now, Joshua, after your poor display and how slack you've been by having these dirty robes, you are now on probation in your role for the next 100 years. No, God absolutely accepted this person, accepted him back for who he is. And that's the power and the might of God. And he simply says, return to the temple and keep serving the Lord. Return to the temple and keep serving the Lord. And I believe people need to hear that today. Just imagine when we get to heaven and we use excuses before God to say, "God, I didn't volunteer. God, I didn't serve because I didn't think I was good enough. God, I was dealing with stuff in my life and I wasn't good enough, so I didn't step up and serve you." And Jesus will say, "Well, didn't the devil have you right where he wanted you?" It's an excuse we use not to step up and serve. But God is saying, what's he saying in 2 Peter? This beautiful verse, he says, "But you're a chosen race, you're a royal priesthood, you're a holy nation, you're a people for God's own possession that may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For once you weren't a people, but now you are a people. Once you hadn't received mercy, now you have received mercy." In Jesus, as he looks at us, we have Jesus standing there saying, "The cross has cleansed you from your sin. The cross has set you free. Stand up and become the people of God that you need to be. Don't keep living under your sin as long as though it's never been dealt with. In Jesus, it's been dealt with. The devil wants to remind you of your sin, but God wants to remind you of your righteousness in him. And which is greatest, his righteousness or your sin? It's got to be his righteousness. So let's live with the pendulum over on his righteousness. Hey, get back in the game. Keep serving in the name of Jesus. Don't just step back. Don't use excuses. The devil is full of excuses. God wants us to step up to be all that he wants us to be. He accuses our heart. The devil accuses us. The Holy Spirit convicts us. Accusing voices are not from God. Accusing voices are from the devil. An accusation drives us away from God. An accusation says you're not good enough. An accusation says you're not worthy. An accusation said if you only did this. An accusation says if you can only get this much together, then you will be accepted. But conviction brings us into the goodness and grace of God. Conviction says, "I love you. I just want you to be who I created you to be. I want you to just let go of the stuff that holds you back so you can be who I want you to be." The devil wants to push you away with shame. The Holy Spirit wants to draw you into the loving heart of God, into his presence. Do you believe the word of God? 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you believe God? That's what he's saying. And the devil's trying to undermine that and put buts and ifs there. The one thing when I got saved is I didn't have any stuff behind me or church stuff behind me. So when I got saved at 20, these were the verses I was taught, and I believed them because I believed God. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. If you pray and ask God to do these great things, will he not do it? So I believed it, and that was it, black and white. I didn't have the shades that get put in by Christians along the way to make excuses why or how the enemy uses these excuses so we can't become the people that God wants us to be. Romans 8:1, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." If we could only get that in there, we say that, we look at that, but man, are we believing it? Are we living as children? Just imagine, I don't have to perform for God. It doesn't matter how well my message goes today, whether I make an absolute blunder of it, or it's amazing. God will still love me. And all I see is Jesus sitting there, and Lord, I just want to preach your word. And should we gain something by the Spirit of God along the way, that's up to God, but there is no performance. I don't have to perform before God. Just imagine if Anna leads worship, my daughter Anna leads worship, and we have lunch afterwards, and I say, well, Anna, you need to step up a bit more. Anna, you're not good enough. Anna, if you do this, it will be go. Okay, Anna, it's all about that. Hey, when we have lunch, it's not about how good you went at church. It's just great to hang out, to be a family, to have lunch together. And I think some of you need to know God wants to hang out with you. He's over your performance and the stuff that you think you need to do. He just wants to hang out with you and say, it's just great to have you as my family. It's just great to call you a child of the King. I see some barriers up, guys. You've got to bring those down. You've got to let the Spirit in, because he says there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set us free from the law of sin and death. Whenever the Spirit steps in, grace abounds. Wherever the devil steps in, accusation abounds. This is God's word written by God Almighty for us to know. You know, the devil knows you, your name, but calls you by your sin. God knows your sin, but he calls you by your name. You got that? You got that? Whenever you go to God, if you've got your sin between you and God, that's the devil calling you sin. If you go to God and realize that you're a child, that you're a precious child of his, and he just loves you hanging out with him, he's calling your name. We've got to stop listening and accepting the voice of the enemy. 2 Corinthians, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war in this world as it does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of this world, but on the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds, to demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Taking every thought captive, because the enemy is building up in our mind stuff to accuse us and pull it down. Listen to the conviction of the Spirit of God. Clean your mind. There's so much stuff, fortresses get built up, and there are spiritual demonic forces that get built up, or fortresses that get built up. It's all these accusations, all these lies that we believe that build on top of one another, and the next one, and the next one, until they become a great wall, and somehow we've got to start dismantling that wall. And if there's a sense in that wall of unforgiveness, that's just legal ground for the enemy. We've got to learn to forgive and let go so that we don't hold this wall. That wall is held together by unforgiveness. But when we forgive, that wall starts tumbling down. Forgiveness isn't about anybody else except you. Forgiveness sets me free. So I don't want to go through life with unforgiveness, because, man, unforgiveness always, it's got to get back. It's got to try and knock the other person down. It's got to look at ways and opportunities to get back at the other person. My life is too full about Jesus, me, my family, rather than worrying about other people that I haven't forgiven. And I want to tell you, as a pastor, there's a lot of people in the journey over 40 years or something that I could have an almighty list, but I don't. Because I'm free. I'm free. And there's something beautiful about being free in Jesus. And to someone close to you, forgive them. Don't hold it against them. I need to say, Meryl actually is a really good navigator. She really is. I need to tell you that. And that's the truth. I forgive you. The enemy will lie to you. We need to stand and use our weapons, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, against the enemy. I want to tell you this morning that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am a new creation. The old has passed. This is the old I'm talking about. And for some of you, it hasn't passed. The old has passed. Behold, God has made all things new. Where you're a child of God, where you are loved. God is not punishing me. The devil tries to say, well, that happened because of that. There you are. God is punishing me. God is a good, good father, and he doesn't punish me. I try to be a good dad, and even though along the way, at times, it's been difficult, there's no way I want to punish my kids because they've done stuff wrong and keep on punishing them. There are consequences, and they've had some consequences along the way, but man, there's no way that they're going to be punished because I want to be a good, good dad, and I want to love them and keep on loving them and being a good, good dad to them. God will use us for good. I may be going through a hard time or a difficult time at the moment, but we need to declare that through our strength, through our perseverance, God is going to come through, that he teaches us to hope and never to give up on hoping. The devil says that after all that you've said and done, God can't use you. Well, let's take that thought obedient to Jesus and say, there is no weapon formed against me that is ever going to prosper. I may be worried about something and waking up the night and I'm worrying about this. The Bible's saying, be anxious about nothing because God is good. He's going to see us through, and he doesn't always promise smooth sailing, but God is there, and when the difficulty comes, Jesus is there in the courtroom being our advocate, saying they've got the robe of righteousness on them. They are my children. They are incredibly loved. The devil says God does not love you. Hey, I'm more than a conqueror through him who loved me, because I am sure that neither life nor death nor powers nor principalities nor things present nor things to come will ever separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, my Lord. We need to learn to declare that, because that's the truth, and the truth shall set you free. No matter what the vote happens this week, Jesus is Lord, and he's not going to be off his throne, and he's not going to say, what am I going to do now? Because before the foundation of the world, God knew that this was going to happen. God knew that Christians would be praying. God knew we'd go through this, and he has got an answer. He has got a way forward, because he is God. And in your life, he's got an answer to your circumstances. He's going to answer to your heart. He's going to answer to the stuff that you're trying to deal with in here. He's got an answer, because before he created you, he had that answer. He just wants us to hang on to him and not give ground for the devil to start to distract us and take us away from God's plan and God's purpose. I will silence the voice of the enemy. I'm not going to be defeated. I'm not going to believe any longer what the devil is going to say. I am a child of God. I'm a kid of the King. The same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead is in me and through me and living in me. I am who God says I am. I'm not what the devil tries to tell me I am, but I am what God wants me to be. He's making me day by day to be more like him. I have an amazing advocate standing before the throne of God saying, this guy is righteous, he's forgiven, and I'm starting to believe it, and I'm going to live it. That's right. And I believe that's what we've got to do. Don't let the devil talk you away from what God wants. I am in Christ. The truth has and will set me free. When the enemy accuses me, there is no weapon on this planet formed against me that shall prosper unless I give ground to the enemy. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. This morning, I just want to leave you with one question. Who's worth listening to? Are you going to listen to God, the one that created the heavens and the earth, that created everything? Or this under being called the devil and his angels, who never created anything except pain and hurt and suffering and death and destruction? Who are you going to listen to? We need to turn our mind, our thoughts, and start to hear what God is saying about you. If you're sitting here this morning and you thought that you were unloved or not worthwhile or not good enough, that's a lie, because Jesus says you're a child of the King. You're special. You created you. You're unique. You're fearfully and you're wonderfully made. And who you are and what you're going through at the moment is God making you you and molding you to be the best you can be, because He's looking forward to that day when you stand before the throne and Jesus is going to stand there with you and say, "Father, here's my child. I'm so proud of them. I'm so proud of what they've been through and they stood with me. I'm so proud that they never gave up. I'm so proud that they decided to listen to the right voices. And I just want to say, welcome home, good and faithful servant."